day. Father, we're grateful, Father, that the sun shines, Lord God, and that we get to enjoy, Father, the blessing, Lord, of life that we have in you. Father, right now, Lord God, we just come before you as your children. Lord, we come before you as those that are called according to your name and by your name, Father. We come before you, Lord, as those that by your Holy Spirit, Father, that you have drawn unto yourself. And Lord, that you've drawn out of this world, Lord God, and received, Father God, and cleansed and made new, Lord, through Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, right now, this morning, Father, as your people, as a grateful people, Lord God, we come before you, Father, with expectant hearts, Lord, and with thankfulness, Lord God. Because, Lord, in all things, Lord, we see how you are working together for those, for the good of those that love you, those that are called according to your purpose. So, Lord, right now, Father God, in Jesus' name, we do bind every demonic spirit, every hindering spirit, Lord, every assignment of the devil, Lord God, and we cast it out in Jesus' name. And, Father, Lord, in this place, Lord, right now, we just pray and receive and ask for, Lord, the free flow of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would just be with us in a wonderful way in this time. Lord, that you would meet the needs, Father God, of each and every heart, Lord, and where each of us are, Lord God. Father, I acknowledge openly there's nothing good in me but your Holy Spirit. And so to your Holy Spirit, Father God, I yield. And Lord, we pray, Father, as we go forward, Lord, that you would be with us in everything we do, think, and say. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So let it be. So let it be. So I'm fully translating today, yeah? Okay. Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47. It's been quite a week, yeah? Am I speaking loud enough for this? No? Wait, come up a little bit, please. Come. Let it in there. These chairs are so far back. Here. I'll slide up here. I'll meet you halfway. You come here, I'll come there. Pull along there. Yes? Okay, I'll try. Okay. Yeah, this week, cricket team, my goodness. She sent me some pictures of like some of the ones, one of the shots went right by the head, and they had to give him a haircut afterwards to take the shrapnel. Some of the pieces from the bus had, but so they had to cut all the hair from this side. The cricketers were surrounded by 12 gunmen in a little tiny bus. I don't know. When I saw that, all the feedback from the whole situation, you see protection and angels and God's hand from keeping these guys from dying. Grenades not going off, bullets just missing so and so. So God is watching over people in the time that we live in. So one of the best things that anybody can do anywhere is seek your Creator, seek your Maker, and be in connection with Him. Because for anyone to be in that situation and not know God is not the place you want to be. All right, Genesis 47. Okay. Then Joseph came and told Pharaoh and said, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all they have are come to the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, even five men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, "What is your occupation?" And they said unto Pharaoh, "Thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers." They said moreover unto Pharaoh, "For to sojourn in the land we are come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flocks, for the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen." And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, "Thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee, and the land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and brethren to dwell. And in the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest of any man of any activity among them, then make them ruler over my cattle." Okay. So six. Okay, so let's set the context a little bit for this. Okay, alright. Joseph, young man, 17, God's giving this guy dreams. And his own brothers, the ones who should be watching out for him, the ones that should be looking out for him and helping him to grow into a good, strong man, at the first opportunity when nobody was watching and they thought nobody was watching, they used the opportunity they were debating whether do we kill him or do we sell him into slavery. And they figured it was better to sell him into slavery because they could make something off of it. And so this has been Joseph's life. Then he goes to Egypt. Now he's in Egypt 13 years. And during that time, his desire to walk with and stay true and walk in connection with God kept getting tested again and again and again. So sold as a slave, Potiphar's house. Now all of a sudden Potiphar's wife saying, "Hello, Joseph." Wait, does this translate? And Joseph in that situation not saying nothing about her, but saying, "How can I do this against God?" So he's always mindful of God's hand in his life despite his situation. He was always mindful of the whatever situation that he was in, that there was a God that was ruling over all of this that he desired to be right before. And that desire to walk in righteousness took him from Potiphar's house into the dungeon. Because his wife wasn't very happy. Potiphar's wife wasn't very happy. And she made up all kinds of stuff about Joseph. And in the world, and the way the world system works, what recourse does Joseph have there? But you also see God's hand in that plan. Again, Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for the good of those that love Him, called according to His purpose. So now Joseph going then to the dungeon, and still in that place, the blessing of God flowing in everything that he did, everything that he would put his hand to. See, there's some things that never stopped with Joseph, no matter where he went. No matter where he went, the blessing of God was still flowing in his life, be it the slavery, be it the dungeon, wherever. Because he was connected to the source. And he always wanted to remain with that connection to the source of life. So then Joseph, then now in prison, and he's having dreams, or he's interpreting people's dreams. And still, even there, the prison guards recognizing the blessing of God on his life and putting him in charge of the prison. And at some point, in God's good time and in God's plan and purpose, the gift of God makes room for Joseph in Pharaoh's court. Notice Joseph wasn't given exceptional math skills that made room for him in Pharaoh's court. He wasn't given exceptional skills in mathematics. Or how to build a bridge. Or advanced sciences. No, what Joseph had was a certain set of gifts that when the time was right, those gifts were used by God to... They created an opportunity for him for God's plan and purpose. So you and I never know when the gift that God has put in you, when the gifts that God has put in you, when those will actually really be in the place where they have the value that God intends. But if you continue to walk in the line that God intends for you, if you continue to walk in the path that He has for you, it becomes known as you go further forward. So Joseph's ability to interpret dreams and made the initial one, but then they found out he's a fantastic manager. So he had a cluster of gifts that enabled him to be God's man for the time. Now all of this happening, all of this taking place, and now 2 years into the famine. Now God seeing the entire script that we live out in this world, the entire script that we live in this life. So, see, we always only just see this little picture and we don't see the entire movie. God's seen the whole movie. And so God, knowing the entire movie, what would come on the world at that time too, sends Joseph ahead of the entire nation of Israel. And Joseph goes down, Joseph is knocked out, Joseph is, later on in scriptures it talks about how his neck was bruised with shackles, that I mean, he spent a lot of his life in not so nice situations. But God sends him ahead of his people because there would come a time when they would need him to be there. And not just for them, but also for the world at that time. Because the world at that time was about to go through the most severe famine that it had ever faced. So Joseph, by God's hand, and even when Joseph is later on talking to his brothers about what had happened to him, he said, look, God allowed for this whole thing to happen. This was God's hand, God working. So he didn't allow the circumstances at any time to allow him to check out on God. But we check into the story in this one section here where now, okay, Joseph's made himself known, the famine's known, everybody understands there what's about to happen, his family's being brought to Egypt, and these people now are coming to where they will be for some time. Now the place that Joseph recommends, the place that Joseph desires to put his family and who will be the people, who are the people of God, it's a place called Goshen. Now last night I was curious, so I was checking this out. The word Goshen means drawing near. And as I was looking at this, okay, the word Goshen means drawing near. And all of a sudden this land took on a whole nother meaning. Because you see what had happened in the land of Goshen from that time through the Exodus.
Goshen
scripture to reach, draw nigh unto me, draw unto me, and I'll draw near unto you. Quick pop quiz, anyone? Who has it? Who has it? Draw unto me, and I will draw near unto you. All right, we'll let the search go. Somebody has to find out. Jesus also said, "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yes? Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay. I'll give you a little background information for your own. This is in the category of informational, but nothing fantastic here. Alright. Goshen is a region in northern Egypt, east of the Lower Nile, and it's where the children of Israel lived from the time of Joseph to the time of Moses. Okay. This one. In the modern day, it's the district in southern Palestine, between Gaza and Gibeon. And then there's another one here that says a town and mountain of Judah, probably the district of Goshen. All right, it's a place where you've seen even today so many different things are happening in these lands, in these areas. But during that time, God bringing the people of Israel there. And Joseph being sent ahead, and then in God's timing, God using Joseph, creating the door, creating the access for the preservation of the nation of Israel. And Joseph being a type of Messiah that would come as well, because later on there would be others that would come that would give an idea of maybe what Jesus would be like when he finally showed up. In Joseph's own life, God uses Joseph and turns death into life. His brothers intended death for him, but God turns it around in his economy, in his time, and turns it into life for his entire nation. So a deliverer is sent ahead of the people of God. And just like in the case of Jesus, they wanted, their intention towards him was negative from the start, and they wanted to kill him, but God turns this thing around. Now, in the story here where we are, the famine's already started. And they know what's coming on the world. It's not a surprise. The people who were surprised by the famine were the people that had no connection with what God was doing. They were detached from the Spirit of God. But those that God intended were well aware of what was coming up. So now, if somebody had said at that time, "Oh, Joseph, you, there's no real famine coming from, just been 2 years of bad rain," we'll just go back, yeah? Okay, they have the free will, they can choose to do that. But would they live or die? Marila, yes? Yeah, they died. Because in the time, especially in the time of famine, when everything switched, if you were not in the place where you were drawing near unto God ultimately, and unto the will of God and the plan of God as it was unfolding, you are now in a place without the provision and protection of God. So, did you catch? So, before, in the time of abundance, there was a 7-year mass explosion. Yes? So agriculture was up. Everything was growing. You could plant anything and it was grow. And they probably were saying, it's going to go like this forever. But the people of God understood what was coming. And they tried to warn. The difference between Joseph's time and the time we live in today is that during his time, at least Pharaoh had the sense. At least this godless pagan king had the sense to understand when there's something that he should listen to from Creator. And the reason why things will get much, much, much worse in the world we live in today is that is lacking in this day. And the arrogance of man, believing that man can solve his own problems apart from God, is part of God's of man's own downfall in this situation. Because there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So, in this situation, in this place, the place of deliverance is the place of drawing near. Now, I hear back from friends of mine from the States, right now with all of the problems America's having. And in America, they're starting to have a problem that's also Sri Lanka's known for a long time. A lot of people are starting to kill themselves. Now, Sri Lanka, sometime back, I think Sri Lanka had the highest suicide rate per capita in the world. So Sri Lanka is not a stranger to something like that. But ultimately, suicide is just people wanting to escape. They want to get out of the pain and the hopelessness that they face all the time. They want it to stop. But what they don't understand is that the only way you will ever find relief, especially eternal relief, is by drawing nigh unto God, by drawing near unto God. Because if you kill yourself and you're already going in the wrong direction anyways, you just continue on without the body, you continue on without the car, but you'll continue moving spiritually in that same direction. Into an eternity of the same choice that you've made throughout your life. But people right now, rather than taking the opportunity to evaluate the fact that their life has been built on the wrong foundation, they've made the wrong choice, they went the wrong way. Rather than doing that, they would want to just check out and, I just don't want to deal with it. The problem is, you will have to deal with it. See, death, things don't stop at death. People fail to realize this. This life is not all there is. This carnal life is not it. And death is just a hiccup because you go from that into eternity. So, in the time of famine, in the time of judgment as well, and I need to make a clear point here. We have yet to come into really the time of God's judgment. What all you're seeing right now is man's system failing himself. But in the time when things flip, you, all people, the admonition is draw near unto God. Okay, if that circumstance hadn't happened then, do you think the brothers would have ever found Joseph in Egypt? No, circumstances were allowed to happen so that certain things would be forced in the days to come. And in our own lives, certain things are going to happen in the days ahead that push certain people into our lives, push some people out of our lives. And you and I need to be very deliberate about flowing with God, because the very same people that before were your enemies, you may have to take care of tomorrow. Yeah. what's scripture say? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. By doing so, it's like heaping hot coals on his head. Bless, God blesses you. Actually, I've noticed probably nothing enrages your enemies more than when they curse you when you bless them and when you want to help them. Proverbs says, a harsh answer stirs up anger, but a gentle reply, it pacifies wrath. And back to a friend of mine in the States who's a pastor who said to me one time, he said, you can't change what happens, but you can change how you respond to it. Okay, so back to Goshen, the place of drawing near. Okay, looking through this, I was thinking about this one last night. God sends the deliverer ahead to create the opportunity for them to draw near. This happens in the natural. Does that sound like something that happened later? Does that sound like something that happened later in time? Yes, the story of Jesus is the same thing. God sends the deliverer ahead of us to create the place for to create the opportunity for us to draw near unto God. The deliverer assigns the place. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus assigns the place. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, John 15. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. In Him we live and move and have our being. So the place of drawing near is the place in Christ Jesus. Again, draw near unto me and I will draw near unto you. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Okay, now, if you go to verse 40, oh, actually 27, same chapter. And it says, and Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. When you remain in Christ Jesus, when we remain in the vine, God gives you the abundant life. Back to John 10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Then So that abundant life that Jesus offers is a life that is found in drawing near unto God. Okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6, and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Whatever you need, God takes care of. What's the greatest commandment? When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? Yes. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself, the second one. Can you love somebody way over there? No, you have to draw near. And God says, draw near unto me with all that you are. Love God with 100% of who you are. Every aspect of the essence of your being, you love God with. So there's a blessing for the people of God in the place where they were drawing near. Now something happened though. Something happened to them as time went on, as Joseph died, as the new Pharaoh came along. Something happened to the children of Israel. They got enraptured in the world somehow, some way. And they were enslaved. And Egypt is a type of the world. When you read scriptures and you see it describing, it's a type of the world and the world system. But the people of God become enslaved by the world. And you can tell that they had been enslaved by the world because when they're also in the wilderness, they wanted to go back to the world. First sign of trouble, first sign of difficulty, they said, Moses, we had pots of meat and we were well taken. I want to get back there. At least we would have died there with something to eat. But the people of God become the batteries for the world system and they're used like that time and time and time again. Ever ready? Now, God again creates the way out for them. Now see, okay, Matthew 15, here, let me, we'll come back to Genesis, but Matthew 15. Well, actually where Jesus said that this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So they live physically in the place of drawing near, but their hearts were far from Him. So you can live in the place, but you can be far from Him. And God's people, though they lived in that place, they were not with Him. And God brings the deliverer again. He brings another one again. Moses shows up. And they were brought out by Moses and the Word of God. They were brought out by the messenger and they were brought out by the message. In Exodus chapter 8, Exodus chapter 8 and 9, Exodus chapter 8 and verse 20 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and unto thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, and no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end that thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth." Those three verses. Okay, in the situation again, God marks out and shows in the time of judgment His hand and His protection and the way He distinguishes between those that are His and those that are not. And God's protection is seen over the land of drawing near. God's provision is seen in the land of drawing near. And in this day, in this age, at this time that we live in right now, with what is coming on the world, you will see the hand of God over, around the people that draw near. And there will be somebody that even people will be blessed that are in proximity to you just because God is taking care of those that are His. Now, the thing though too about that place was there was times that they were protected just by being in that right location. Like when the flies and the hail, all the way, when certain judgments came, just by being in the land of Goshen, And there were other times where God gave them a specific instruction and said, you need to do this. So when the angel of death would go over the entire land, they said, look, you need to take the blood of the lamb and put it over the door of the house. Because there were some things that were coming that they had an active role, something they needed to do in that situation. And if they failed to obey, if they failed to hear the voice of God when God spoke to them, then they would then fall to the same judgment that was coming on the rest of the world. You notice it's not just uniform. There's sometimes something you have to do that God will show you to do. And ultimately, what ended up happening in the land of Goshen and what they were told? After they had been gone into their time of drawing near unto God, then where did God send them? He sends them out. So if Egypt is a type of the world, He sends them out of the world. He sends them out of the world and into the wilderness. And in that move, they have to make that move regardless of the cost or the obstruction that they might face. And God, in that process, you see the protection, you see the provision, you see the hand of God over that nation. And even with Jesus, when he, in Revelation 3:20, where He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open up... Here, let's go there. In Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with Me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with Me in My throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with My Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What happens if any man, if any individual, if any individual person is seeking God with all of your heart, if you are seeking Him and now you hear His voice, now I've said it before that this if there's different ages of the church, if there's one church that describes the church age that we might be living in, of the seven that are here, it's the Laodicean church. It's the last one. And in this one, Jesus is outside and something else is inside. And if somebody wants to be with Christ, if any man, if any individual, you have to get up and get to the door. And if you want to be with Him, you have to go outside because He's not welcome inside. And part of the reason why verse 21 says, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne. And part of what you have to overcome is your own fear of leaving everything and everyone that's inside to go out into the wilderness to be with Christ. See, the thing about us being His lambs, His sheep, the sheep that know His voice. Is that we follow Him wherever He goes. We listen for His voice and then we desire to obey and we work to obey whatever He shows us. And so when the time comes that we are faced with those decisions, we say, Lord, I'll go with You. I need Your Spirit to empower me to do this, to carry this out. And God enables you and empowers you, just like in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be that witness, to be that person that God intends for you to be. It's not something that we do ourselves, but it's something that flows from the Spirit of God as you yield your free will to Him. Now, there was a time also for the children of Israel that when they were taking the promised land, they were taking Goshen again. Joshua took Goshen again. And God will, by His Spirit, if you make the decision to draw near unto God, He, by His Spirit, will clear away every obstacle if your will is set to walk with Him. If your will... Okay, Joshua chapter 10, verse 40 through 43. No, you don't have to just... Because we're running out of time. Yeah. Okay. If your will is set to walk with the Spirit of God, God Himself will clear the way for you to do it. So we have a Savior that continues to intercede for us. He continues to fight for us. He continues to provide for us. He sends His angels. They watch out for us and they protect us. And He empowers and He delivers and He takes care of His people. So we walk with Him and He walks with us. And every day we draw near